and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I can barely contain myself. Time to get your sexy on. Of course, I'm referring to Newt Gingrich declaring president today. Yeah. I feel electricity. I'm not talking about that. You know what I'm talking about.
Steffi. Oh,
what's that God. Heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes.
Good morning, dear.
Oh, dear. Yeah, well, at this point, like, both of us have been in here and sort of getting warmed up to do the show.
For yes.
Like,
yes.
There's so much backstory to today's show. You know what I mean? Like, some days you just kind of rush in and you get on the air.
Right.
Other days, there's just a moment to settle.
Yes.
And the show takes on a life of its own.
Exactly. Yeah, right. A little bit of backstory.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I came in
a lot
smelling
of stuff is revealed.
Exactly. I wafted in smelling of Valium and disappointment.
Oh.
And fish.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I have Snapper with me.
Yeah.
StephanieMiller.com is the website. What?
Bucket of fish.
StephanieMiller.com is the website. Hey.
I have Snapper with me. We've got a new sexy liberal t-shirt we're going to be selling. I have Snapper with me. Sexy liberal tour. All right.
Check out my Snapper. All right. Kids, fine Americans, Syracuse, time to get your sexy on.
Yeah.
Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and I coming to Syracuse, the Krause Heinz Theater this Saturday.
Yep.
Hurry if you don't have your ticket yet. Mm-hmm. Ticketmaster.com or go right to the box office at Krause Heinz. Especially, I'm talking to you, Ithaca. Okay.
Yeah. You're only 45 miles away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rochester, I'm doing an interview tomorrow with my old radio co-host, Brother Weeze, because I began my career as Sister Sleaze.
And things have only gotten worse.
You wore a barrel, nothing but a barrel, in a storefront window.
I did broadcast with Brother Weeze naked in a barrel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And things clearly have gotten classed up since then. Raleigh-Durham, Saturday, June 4th. Minneapolis, Saturday, June 18th. Boston, Saturday, July 16th. And yes, we have more announcements, but we can't tell you or we'd have to shoot you in the eye.
Right.
But we probably today, even maybe during the show today.
Yes.
Yeah.
If we get this particular mini Normandy invasion all pieces in place, we will make a big announcement
right.
Today.
Huge.
Maybe the biggest. Okay. So that may be during the show. Or at the very latest tomorrow, depending on you're on a need-to-know basis, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chris, people call Chris about the Sexy Liberal Show. He has no idea.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm really not involved in this thing.
I don't.
I'm happy to help, but.
Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah, I don't have a logo.
My favorite.
I barely know.
Right. I love when they call you to complain. Why aren't you coming here? Why isn't
right.
There
yeah.
Something happening? I don't know. I was sleeping.
Everything bad about it, it's Chris's fault.
Well, of course.
Totally. Yeah, yeah.
Of
yes.
course.
Yes.
Which
all
is
right.
His new Twitter address. It's Chris's fault.
It's Chris's fault.
At it's Chris's fault. Hashtag
can I have,
don't.
It's another unsolicited testimonial, this time to the resurrective power of Hal Sparks.
Oh?
Mm. Well, as you know, who resurrected my dead eggs in time for Easter. I think it had been nearly a year since my little friend visited. And then, one hump days with Hal.
Hmm. Okay.
Although, by the way, I think I need you need to pull the ripcord again. I think it's like an old jalopy that's going for
like
about a month.
It kickstarts. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. It's a kickstart.
I mean, you might need the jumper cables again.
All right.
That might have been.
You go to the front of the Model T and, crank start
yeah,
it.
That might have
yeah.
just been a miracle, like stigmata that only was a one-time thing.
Right. Well, yeah.
Okay. However, Lori, with yet another unsolicited testimonial. Steph, Hal Sparks truly has ovary resurrection powers. I sat at my computer and watched several Charmageddon videos, and by morning, my ovaries were performing. It has been 7 months, and I thought I was through. Thank you, Hal. I am juicy. That's, I didn't
know oh, it ended well.
Lori. Mm-hmm. Yep. Just saying.
I.
Put them up to the radio, in fact, now.
Yes,
easily,
right.
If
yes.
you just...
I'm putting my hand.
Or even better, go on the Ustream.
Yes.
And put your ovaries up to the computer screen.
Yes, go to either StephanieMiller.com or HalSparks.com.
Or come to the Sexy Liberal Show and just sit in the audience, you know, and I'll just kind of put my hands up Reverend Gene Scott style.
Yes.
I think we could do that.
Like Benny Hinn, only without the tidal wave hair.
Ernest Angley.
Yeah.
It's a comedy / preacher show.
Demons out. Demons out of your...
This is where Hal heals all the women
demons
folk.
Demons in. Wonderful demons in. Positive, life-affirming demons in.
Sorry. Thank you. All right.
Cute, nymphy little demons that are fun to hang out with on weekends in.
Wow.
All right.
Christians at home going, I knew it!
Yeah. All right. I you know, this did not. This is like the running joke. Al Qaeda likely to elevate number two, or name no one.
Oh yeah.
To be yeah, that number. Well, actually, you know what I've heard? It's the most lethal is being the number three guy.
Oh, totally.
Because he's the guy that he has to use his cell phone because someone has to be able to communicate with somebody.
Yeah. He's the red shirt ensign from Star Trek.
Yes.
He's the guy who beams down like, who are you?
Yeah, I've never seen you before.
He's the Spinal Tap drummer. He's you know.
Right.
Murphy Brown, secretary.
We got number three. Hey, we got another number three.
Yeah. No, that's what they were saying is because obviously the, you know, Bin Laden and the number two, they can't have any kind of satellite, nothing, you know. So, but the number three guy is the guy that, yeah, you know. And that apparently not very bright, the guy that keeps taking that job. Number three? Sure. Here's your cell phone. Oh!
Yeah, right. Stupid angry birds.
Oh,
the game center keeps asking for my location. That's the problem. The iPhone, he keeps turning on location services so he can update his Facebook page. And
yeah.
That was a mistake.
Yeah.
How many times do I have to tell you guys?
See, I could be one or two because, as you know, I'm technologically impaired. Chris, guess what, by the way?
What?
Remember, I have a loaner car again because my car is in for service.
Okay.
Remember last time I almost didn't make it to work?
Because you couldn't figure out how to start it.
It's one of them newfangled Jetson cars. It's with and I didn't know you had to step on the brake when you push the button.
Oh, the hybrid? Yeah.
Like, where's the key? I'm used to having a key to my Packard.
Right.
Yeah, but I didn't realize all the things that had it. But it's like a space car.
Yeah.
And this one is even more confusing because it has the thing where it shows you if you're too close to things, which would be good for me.
Because you run into things.
I run into things.
Yeah.
But I think
it's a little over-alarmist. But it's funny. See, if I had that for relationships, I would know not to even get close.
Absolutely. It would help you back in there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, right. Ding, 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 ding. I'm too close. I'm getting too close.
I'm just saying it's a little oversensitive because you're really not that close and it starts freaking you out because it goes...
Yeah, and your garage isn't the biggest thing in the world, so you're close to everything when you go into your garage.
So I'm already just overly wound this morning. Just from my car warning system.
Little boy band member sensor on it, so you know if you're going to run him over. Allegedly him.
Boy band, 12 o'clock.
Yeah, boy band. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Thank God it was just his mustache. He's okay. It's all right. I think I hit one of his high notes yesterday and just left it in the yard. The kids were playing with it.
Oh, boy. All right. Anyway, so, yeah, me and technology, not so much. But, see, I've been proven right. You know, it's hard being me. It's hard always being right all the time.
Well,
but
about
technology, I'm just saying, look at what Facebook. See, like, I don't do, the show has a Facebook page and a Twitter, but I don't do it personally because Grandma doesn't trust those things.
Sure.
And see now what they're saying, everyone's getting everyone's information, even if you're trying to just keep it for your friends.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't like, that's what I was saying. And
it must be nice to always believe you know better, to always think you're the smartest person in the room.
No, it's awful. It's awful. Is it such a burden?
I don't know. I kind of like it.
It works well for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So Al Qaeda likely to elevate number two a week after the death.
You said number two.
Okay. A week after the death of Bin Laden, his longtime deputy is considered to be the front runner. I love when they have
that's good.
It's like a
reality show.
It's like a primary over
there. Yeah, it's like The Bachelor, but with Al Qaeda and a bunch of soon-to-be dead people.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. It's a terrorist dating game. Let's see. Let's check out what our choices are. He's considered the front runner to succeed Bin Laden, but uprisings in the Middle East and changing dynamics within the group could point to another scenario. Decision not to appoint anyone. If Al Qaeda does pick a successor, Alman al-Zawahiri, come on down, 59 years old.
Yeah,
I've heard of him.
Yes.
He's
the most
Egyptian.
Likely choice because he was Bin Laden's longtime deputy.
Mm-hmm. And yet everybody hates him because he's Egyptian and kind of a jerk to work with.
Yes, he's an Egyptian doctor who's believed to be hiding somewhere in Pakistan.
What do you know?
But I just love this. Al-Zawahiri lacks bin Laden's personal appeal.
What, bin Laden had personal appeal?
He's not quite as saucy.
Dude was a rock star.
Yeah. And folks. Some members of Al-Qaeda have found him a controlling micromanager.
Can you imagine them, like, sitting in your little shop, assembling your bomb that you're going to strap to your own body?
Blue wires are fine!
Yeah, right, you're going to bomb.
God!
You're going to blow yourself up, and you're going, that guy is a jerk.
You are so anal! Back off!
I got half a mind to strap one of these things to myself just to not have to work with him anymore. They start to, like...
Might I make one more suggestion? No!
No! I'm putting his email on a bunch of websites so he gets a bunch of spam. I'm sick of that guy. One more word out of him, and I'm getting him a registered phone number.
That is incorrect grammar. It should be Allah commands it. Shut up! I know!
Yeah, right.
One possible challenger is Abu Yahya al-Libi. He's a Libyan who serves as Al-Qaeda's Afghanistan commander. He's an Islamic scholar. He likes long walks on the beach. I don't know. I'm just making this up as I go along.
Pina coladas.
Where's the strange place in the rain?
He's ever made whoopee.
He escaped from U.S.'s Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan in 2005 and began appearing in videos released by the terror group.
Oh, did he?
Yes. Those are sort of like my early evening at the improv.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. I have that DVD on
those early terror.
I'm so embarrassed by my outfit in that. I can't believe I ever wore my hair like that. That material is so hack. I write much better stuff now.
Who told me that vests were good fashion statements?
Right, the vest was a mistake.
Bin Laden has the ego. Like, he wants to sit around watching all the old
videos of himself.
You know me. I'm horrified.
Yeah.
I don't have the ego to be the number one. I'd be like, ow, is there some way I can get rid of that evening at the improv? That is awful.
No wonder I'm number
two. That was my original nose.
Look at those hammer pants. Your original hair.
Why did I ever wear hammer pants?
Do you think he is embarrassed by his early terrorist videos?
Oh, yeah. I was just so...
That's awful. Look at that.
Oh, God.
Another possibility is Saif al-Adal, another Egyptian, who was indicted by the U.S. for his role in the 1998 bombings of the U.S. embassies in Tanzania and Kenya.
Okay. Tanzania, you mean?
Tanzania.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
He was indicted, I guess, in absentia. They didn't release him on his own recognizance or something like that. Look, okay, you're a major terrorist.
He didn't get trash pickup or anything.
See you in court tomorrow. No bail, Your Honor. We trusted. He has ties to the community.
You got to pick up trash by the highway now.
Right.
You've been bad. Okay, that's... Well, wow. Those
and
are our choices.
Hops the line like James Remar in 48 hours.
I can feel this show going off the rails already.
Yep.
All right, 19 minutes. Yay! 19 minutes after the hour, it's Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. Angela Kelly, VP for Immigration Policy at the Center for American Progress, joins us after the bottom of the hour to talk about the president's thoughts yesterday.
You'd think that was becoming a point of conversation again, an actual... Normally, when Democrats, something like the DREAM Act goes away, it just seems to go away and nobody tries again anytime soon.
Yeah.
They go, well, we've learned our lesson for the next
10 years.
Yes,
that'll show us.
Yeah, right.
Try to get basic fairness.
Barack Obama didn't get the memo, apparently.
Yes.
You know what? That failed, but we got it through the House. Let's try again.
Yeah.
And let's marshal people to do it.
Hal is a fellow happy-clappy liberal. Even you have to be surprised at how... Somehow, apparently, killing Bin Laden is a bad thing.
Yeah.
For America.
Did you see Ed Schultz last night? Ed was freaking out, essentially, that people were complaining that somehow we killed Bin Laden. And he even went so far as just saying, good, that we got him. Here's the interesting thing. The thing that struck me the most about it, and Michael Moore, who I adore.
Well, he wasn't responsible. It was George Bush's victory, or it's a bad thing for America.
Yeah. Those, and it's a perfect storm of somehow Obama had nothing to do with the death of Osama. George Bush gets all the credit for the killing
for
of
not
Osama
accomplishing it. Uh-huh.
However, gets none of the blame for 9/11.
Right.
That's amazing.
Because that was Bill Clinton's fault.
Yeah, all the good stuff that happens outside of Bush's, he gets credit
and
for
And he
it.
Inherited, of course, as you know, the Clinton-Gore recession.
Right.
What?
Which then...
Right.
He passed on a guess.
But I was amazed at how many people were upset that somehow there was an extrajudicial aspect of Osama bin Laden. You've got soldiers storming a compound that houses the most dangerous terrorist in the world. The first floor is apparently full of guys who are willing to put down a 40-minute firefight.
Right.
They get upstairs, and he makes a move that would indicate that perhaps he may or may not be armed.
Yes.
And he ends up dead. How many
times
does that happen in...
Yes.
Detroit.
Well, wait till
Bronx,
our good friend Jim Ward. Jim Ward will be here in a moment, and he will explain to you how his judgment would have been better in that moment, apparently, than the Navy SEAL. He thinks we should have taken him alive and had a trial. And
whatever.
It would have been better. And I'm like, no,
the
I don't.
Assumption
I don't.
That, well, the assumption that it was even possible is so just armchair quarterbacking. But on top of that, we get to this
And by
point,
the way, anything we would get out of him in trial apparently would be unbelievably reliable, and we could not be considered propaganda in any way.
How about one of the things is, he's got there, maybe he doesn't have a weapon, but he does have a button that torches all the important stuff in his
chair. Yeah.
So any,
or a button that releases sarin gas,
or whatever. You don't
why
know.
Wouldn't you give Bin Laden the benefit of the doubt? What has he done to you?
Well, the other thing, too, is, anybody, like, I always have this chip on my shoulder about superhero movies, like Daredevil was terrible about this. Daredevil spends the entire movie chucking bad guys off of rooftops, like he's fighting every low-level number two, number three guy. These guys get kicked in the chest, out a window, fall, get hit by a subway train, thrown into a wood chipper. But then he gets to the main bad guy, to Kingpin, and Kingpin goes, "Kill me, you don't have the guts." And he goes, "I'm better than you, I'm not going to kill you."
You're right.
What? Kill him! Other guys were maybe just trying to put, you know, some food on their table, or were threatened that if they didn't fight for the bad guy, they and their family would be killed. There's 100 reasons why the low-level guys should be
thrown
put
out
on
the
trial.
Window, yeah.
But the upper-level guy plans all of it. To hell with him! Like, it's amazing to me. Everybody's so verklempt about the death of Osama bin Laden. The 9 guys on the first floor...
whatever.
They were expendable.
Yeah, right. Even though those guys could have been whispered every night as they were going to sleep. Remember, if anyone gets through here and kills Osama, we go and wipe out your family. Like,
right.
Honestly.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of a wood chipper, I was thinking that, like, Sarah Palin, of course, criticizes no matter what, just everything the president does. You know, and even
everything was wrong. Because
you're
thinking the turkeys behind her? That's how the wood chipper thing
is. No, that's
what I'm
thinking she would have done. If she was president, got Osama, he would have been behind her while she's talking on TV. He would have been fed into the wood chipper. They're like the turkey.
Like the turkey, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for they never would have gotten him. Because she would have followed the Bush doctrine, which was...
She would have invaded several... Well, she doesn't even have the correct map. She would be going by the Fox map. So she would have invaded several wrong countries.
She'd been walking around in the dark in Wisconsin with a flashlight, going, "We're near Canada. He has to be up here. Those people are awful."
I could see this from my house. I don't know where I am now. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You are ugly, smelly, not fun, and just my type. Tell me what I have to do to make you fall in love with me.
Your voice sounds different in that clip.
Hal, apparently, on his the Hal stream, the HalSparks.com, he puts up a girl from Ipanema when we're, you know, experiencing emotional difficulties during the commercial breaks, in my case. technical difficulties.
As you are
it's me
to
working
do.
Out my issues with Hal during the commercial breaks. It's better than therapy, trust me. You can fix your ovaries and your brain.
And your relationships.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you had any. Okay.
Aww.
1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number.
People can smell desperation, Stephanie.
I know. What movie is that from? Who knew sweaty desperation was a turnoff? All right, the president on immigration yesterday.
I thought it was Snapper.
Everybody recognizes the system's broken. The question is, will we finally summon the political will to do something about it?
All right. So Angela Kelly is the Vice President for Immigration Policy at the Center for American Progress. She joins us now. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Thanks.
So, you know, I thought the president's speech was interesting in that he was almost mocking Republicans a little bit, which I love.
Me too.
But, I mean, you know, I think that in the wake of, you know, we've just been discussing the bin Laden killing. And, I mean, literally, whether it's the birth certificate, he can't do anything right for the right wing anyway. And so, I mean, I think that was his point, was his larger point, wasn't it? That it doesn't matter what we do on border security, it's not going to be enough for Republicans to actually come to the table on comprehensive immigration reform, right?
Yeah, I think he was laying down a challenge to them because, look, deportations are up under President Obama. The border is more secure under President Obama. He has not pulled any punches in enforcing our immigration laws, yet Republicans remain unsatisfied, and they frankly keep moving the goalposts on what they want to see happen. They want to create a Berlin Wall, and even that people were able to escape. And so I think what the president was saying is, look, you know, in the interest of our nation's economic health and our national security, we can't just keep fortifying the border. It's insufficient. We've got 11 million people living here without authorization. We're not going to deport them all. Way expensive and destabilizing. And that we should just get real about what we should do about them. And
right.
he pointed, you know, very clearly to the DREAM Act,
right.
which is for youths that came here through mm-hmm. no choice of their own.
Yeah. And worked hard. Right.
Right. Work yeah. hard. They're graduating this month and next month, and they have nowhere to go.
Right.
Yep. Well, Angela, I mean, I do think it is interesting, you know, as part of the larger conversation, you know, that we were just talking about, that apparently, literally, you think, are you hearing this right? Like, killing bin Laden proves that he's actually weak on terror. Or it's like, or George Bush did it better by not getting him. Like, I don't...
Right.
But
right,
this is, but you're exactly right. Is, you know, the facts are the facts, and I think he was saying that the border is more secure than it's ever been, and these are facts. Like you say, there are figures, there are deportations, whatever barometer you want to use. You know,
yeah, and I think because he realizes that he's just going to hit a brick wall here on Capitol Hill, that what he's trying to do is very smart. He's trying to engage other stakeholders and the American people generally. So he met with the CEO of Facebook. He's met with former Republicans of Chertoff, who was the head of Department of Homeland Security under Bush. He has sat down with law enforcement, with faith leaders, and his cabinet secretaries and senior White House officials have a slew of upcoming meetings, town halls, speeches, all on this issue.
Yeah.
And I think what he's trying to do is, frankly, just make it harder and harder for the Republicans to say no by showing how important this is to all aspects of American society. And then, you know, it'll be really clear at the end of the day who's standing in the way of a sensible solution.
Yeah, Angela, I mean, I talk about this all the time, just how far right this version of the Republican Party has gone. I mean, look at the McCain-Kennedy. This was McCain's name was on this comprehensive immigration reform, which, you know, he had to run away from in the last election. Now they've gone even further right. I mean, he's debating with people that think he's an illegal immigrant, the president. I mean, people that, even after he released the birth certificate, I mean, it really, listen, take a listen to the president yesterday.
I suspect there's still going to be some who are trying to move the goalposts on us one more time. You know, they said we needed to triple the Border Patrol. Or now they're going to say we need to quadruple the Border Patrol. Or they'll want a higher fence. Maybe they'll need a moat. Maybe they want alligators in the moat. They'll never be satisfied.
You know, Angela, I have to say this is one debate I've never really gotten, because it just seems like that would be a common sense thing we all can agree on, that there has got to be a comprehensive, you can't just do one part of the problem. And, you know, the president is doing his part on border security. It's just, you know, I've never understood how, they screamed amnesty last time, and then they automatically gave amnesty to how many millions of illegals by doing nothing.
Right, right. We have a de facto amnesty. It's called the status quo. You're absolutely right. And I think that what sticks in the craw of many people is the fact that those who are here without status broke the law. And we're a nation of laws, and that's something that the American people take really seriously. And I agree, and I respect that. And I think when we figure out ways to address this problem, we have to take that head on. We have to say, look, you need to come forward. You need to register. You need to be sure. We need to do a criminal background check on every single person. We need to be sure that you're paying taxes and that you're learning English and that you're committed to this country. High fees, pay a fine. I don't think that it's any kind of a giveaway program, but I do think we need to be sensible and not pretend that we're going to deport our way out of this somehow. We would spend billions of dollars trying to do that. Rather, I think it would make more sense to put up a set of rigorous requirements and challenge people to come forward. I think most will. I think people want to be on the right side of the law. But that gets at another aspect of our broken immigration system is that we have the same number of visas available today in 2011 that we did in 1990. We have the same number of visas available whether you're coming in this economy where it's very weak and we don't need as many workers as we did 6 years ago when we had a very strong economy and there were help wanted signs in stores all across the country. So we have a rigorous, a rigid visa system that's not responsive to our country's dynamic economic needs. We've got people who are here without status. We've got more and more boots and binoculars at the border than ever before. And frankly, what's lacking is political will to just drive the issue forward.
Angela, take a listen to Senator Robert Menendez yesterday.
Looking at the House, Republicans and some of the positions they've taken, I don't see how we get comprehensive immigration reform through.
I mean, this is the problem. You and I are talking about this issue, but we are talking to a Republican Party that would not have Ronald Reagan today, who gave amnesty to 7 million illegal immigrants. I mean, is there actually? Because a lot of people just go, there's no way. You're not going to get this done. I mean, is there a way that this is going to get done?
I think it's very difficult to imagine. I do think that we're going to have a legislative debate this summer. The House Republicans have indicated that they want to move a bill. Not surprisingly, it's simply an enforcement bill. But the Senate Democrats will need to answer that. They'll need to have their own solution. I think the president gave them a blueprint yesterday on what that might look like. So you could imagine a vigorous debate on Capitol Hill. I think it's more likely that it's going to be like a showdown at OK Corral where nobody's going to take the gun out of their holster and it'll probably end in a draw. But then that begs the question, well, what about in the next Congress? President Obama is reelected. It'll be because I hope he has done something for the Latino community, that he has promised something for them.
Right.
And certainly no Republican is going to get in office. They'll never see the inside of the Oval Office until they get on the right side of this issue for the Latino community.
Well, I mean, that's right. Here's John Cornyn yesterday accusing the president of playing politics.
I don't know what the point is other than part of the campaign effort leading to 2012.
I mean, but you're absolutely right, Angela. It's like, guess what? The Hispanic population is a large and growing population. And if you're going to continually come across as racist, as many in the Republican Party do in their rhetoric then...
It's a demographic time bomb for the Republican Party. On the other hand, the Democrats can't take them for granted either.
Right.
Because they may not turn out. They may feel so disrespected and ignored that they may not give either party their vote. So I think...
The president raising the issue, trying to do something about it, trying to get something accomplished, and it's just, I mean, it's amazing. It's a major issue, and people say, always playing politics.
I agree. I think the president is quite sincere about this. If you look at the blueprint that's on the White House website, it's a very detailed, very smart proposal. There's no doubt what the president's vision is on this issue. Frankly, if he keeps leaning into it and he brings along his cabinet secretaries who have been extraordinary spokespeople on this issue, again, it will be harder and harder for the Republicans to say this is just playing politics when he is showing a real smart policy solution. And their solution is to try to deport their way out of the problem.
Yeah,
there's no solution.
And Angela, as Osama bin Laden could tell you, I wouldn't underestimate the president.
Yes, good point.
Hal Sparks and I here made this analogy a lot with the gay community, is there was a lot of frustration and we're not turning out in the midterms because we're not, and the president has gotten an awful lot done on gay rights, and I think certainly has reactivated that base because, it was sort of what I was saying all along is like, look, every civil rights march has been a long march and sure enough, we are now getting results despite a lot of our impatience.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is a marathon. It's not a sprint. It's going to take time. And I would be curious to see how the Republicans respond and if they can break out of their myopic and enforcement-only mantra. I'm not holding my breath. I think it'll take time. But, you know, demographics are destiny, and I don't see how either party can continue to avoid the problem.
Yes.
Has there been any kind of demographic research done on, like, the response to the fact that the House did pass the DREAM Act, that the Democrats landed soundly on the side of it, and then it got, you know, it literally got shouldered by Republicans in the Senate? Did that, I mean, has that sent a message?
Yes, it did. There was very good research done by Latino Decisions that I think does some of the best polling in the Latino community. And they showed, look, the support among Latinos for Republicans is plummeting. I mean, George Bush won 40% of the Latino vote. I mean, the Republicans right now couldn't do that, given the record that they've had. And so in the aftermath of the DREAM Act, there was increased support for the Democrats. The president's numbers, frankly, had been slipping because he has such a rigorous enforcement set of policies in place and because so many people are being deported. But as it was covered very closely, the debate, the president's numbers went up. I mean, look, Jorge Ramos is the most well-known and well-watched Spanish-language anchor on Univision. He covered the DREAM Act. That was it happened, the Senate vote was on a Saturday morning. He covered it live. He co-anchored it with a DREAM Act student. There wasn't a Latino who didn't wake up on Sunday morning and didn't know what happened on the Senate floor and who was to blame for it not passing. This is embedded in the consciousness of this community, not because Latinos who vote are here illegally. Obviously, they're not. They're voting. Yeah. They're here legally. But the tone of the debate is ugly. The tone of the debate is offensive. And all the undocumented people, by the way, don't live in one apartment building by themselves.
Little statistic from the Center for American Progress. Angela.
It doesn't affect only them. So, anyway, to be continued.
Yeah, absolutely. Angela, you were, may I just say, spectacular.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Angela Kelly, VP for Immigration Policy at the Center for American Progress. Talk to you again soon, I'm sure.
All right, take care.
All right.
Good day, all.
There she goes. She was spectacular.
Yeah, she was great.
And George Bush got those approval ratings despite this horrible Spanglish that he spoke and his father referring to Hispanic children as little brown ones. Just saying. And now, she's right, now we have all this horrible policy since then by Republicans.
Did you guys see the Will Ferrell, George Bush response?
I didn't. I saw.
It's pretty.
It's funny.
There's a little Spanglish in there because he's playing him at a Sizzler.
Oh, by the way, the Stephanie Miller Show would like to make a correction. I said, as Osama bin Laden could tell you. And he could tell her if his lips hadn't been eaten off by a barracuda at the bottom of the sea. In the pineapple where he lives. Thank you. Mm-hmm. 47.
That's important clarification.
Well, yes.
Thank you.
Valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he couldn't actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we like to correct our facts here.
Because pieces of him are being dropped into tanks of you know, billionaires all over the world. Like, can I have a little
food?
Can I have a little extra?
Sure, babe.
Yeah.
He's chum now. 48.
Chum. Old chum.
Oh.
Hello, old. What did the shark say? Hello, old chum.
Chum.
Oh, God.
Oh, wow. Really?
Wow. That's an hour one. Yikes. 48 minutes after the hour.
Yeah, we have to go up from here.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
The irony Stephanie Miller that he show. Might have actually seen a shark with a laser beam attached.
Yeah. It is ironic. Mm-hmm. Okay. Right back.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
You know you got me. What you just do, shot me. And I'm here helplessly in love and nothing can stop me.
No, don't funk with me.
Stephanie Miller.
Ah. Yeah. Don't funk with me. Huh. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. 53 minutes after the hour in the midst of the hump days with Hal.
Can Hal funk with you?
Well, that goes without saying.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. 1-800-STEP-12.
It's nice to hear.
All right, we've already been having this debate. Chris in Illinois thinks Bin Laden should have gotten a trial. Hello, Chris.
Hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, good. Go ahead.
Okay, you guys are starting to turn this into an episode of 24. I mean, there was no 40-minute firefight. We now know that. That was the original report. Mm-hmm. So there was, like, maybe 1 minute worth of firefight and 39 minutes worth of intelligence gathering. And if the SEALs are good enough to shoot the girl in the leg, I'm sure they could have figured out a way to shoot Bin Laden in a way to incapacitate him long enough to tackle him and take him into custody.
Right. Really? And what physical position was he standing in when they shot him? What physical position was she standing in when they shot her? That's what I'm saying. So the idea that you can kind of assert that they could somehow wound her, but they didn't have to kill him in that circumstance is the thing I have issue with.
Chris, let's just say you were the Navy SEAL. You're the Navy SEAL. It's Bin Laden. He looks like he's going for a weapon. You don't know if he has an explosive belt. Seriously, you would have given Bin Laden the benefit of the doubt.
We don't know that happened, Stephanie. We don't know. We just don't know.
But I don't understand the point of questioning this or questioning the Navy SEAL's judgment in that moment. I don't understand.
Because it was obviously a kill mission. It was an assassination.
It was not obviously a kill mission.
No,
what was said is if he would have surrendered, but he would have had to have been naked and no, visible weapon anywhere.
Again, you're making a lot of assumptions.
The whole point is that I think people are drawing agenda on both sides of this, and there's this assumption somehow that it was extrajudicial because it's an attack on a compound in a foreign country that we actually did a covert action in to get this guy. Now, they had a capture and or kill order on him. That had been established for a long time. The assumption that they were just going to go in and just kind of assassinate him and move on without the potential for them in that moment going, look, if we do catch him, there may be intelligence that we will gain from that. And everyone seems to be comfortable with the idea that the SEALs just kind of came in there without any concept of what the upside or downside of killing him might be, and just went, we'll wound everybody else, but we'll shoot him in the eyeball regardless of the circumstance. It's just kind of patently absurd.
Yeah. Somebody else was saying, I'm not sure they train Navy SEALs to wound. I'm not sure they train them to, sprain ankles.
Well, in some cases, they teach them to be sharpshooters, and I think I'll agree with him on that regard, but the problem is nobody... A woman running away gets wounded in the leg because you don't know if she's running for something. Osama bin Laden standing in his own space with access to whatever he has hidden there doesn't get the same benefit of the doubt on somebody raiding a compound. And it's amazing to me.
Look who else agrees with our caller. Osama bin Laden's son's kind of peaceniks. Who knew? They're kind of the Scott Evil, I guess, of the... Mm-hmm. The New York Times released parts of a statement from the adult sons of Osama bin Laden condemning the American mission that ended in their father's death. We now condemn the President of the United States for ordering the execution of armed men and women. International law has been blatantly violated. We were saying the good news
Unlike
is bin 9/11. Laden did get his final request.
I have one simple request, and that is to have sharks with frickin' laser beams attached to their heads.
Mm-hmm. Just saying.
He just didn't realize he was going to be on the receiving end.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
He didn't think that they would be swimming by him. Isn't the point? All right. Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand the reason for the debate.
Again, here's the thing. I believe I'm not pro-torture. I do not believe that if they'd have captured him, they should have tortured him during that part. But I'm not giving him the benefit of the doubt and assuming that they could have taken him alive in his own compound in a foreign country. I don't buy that. In a best case scenario, is it possible? Sure. Am I to assume that they went in there and just said, regardless of what happens, shoot them and don't worry about it?
Yeah.
It's a bit silly.
Wendy in Chicago on the same subject. Hi, Wendy.
Yeah, good morning. Listen, I revere these progressives, Laura Flanders, Katrina Vanderhoeven, Tom Hartman, and Michael Moore. But listen, we have a problem here, and we're debating this. This was a success for our country, for our president. Everything you said is making sense. But the problem is they don't understand. When we start fighting about what Laura Flanders said, the semantics of justice versus justified, we don't win elections.
Right.
We need a Frank Luntz in our party to unify us. We can debate this later on, but we have a very important election to win.
Yeah, that might be our job now. We might be we need a more apparently bloodthirsty segment of the liberal population. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. We're in the hump, in the middle of Hump Days with Hal. 6 minutes after the hour. Yes, yes, we are. 1-800-STEPH-1-2. If only the commercial breaks were longer. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. HalSparks.com, we're video streaming there, as well as at StephanieMiller.com. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, splendid! Mm-hmm. This calls for a sexy party.
Mm-hmm. Into the Sexy Party Syracuse this Saturday. Me and Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show coming to Syracuse. Mm-hmm. Get your tickets. They're flying out the door everywhere. Seriously.
Yes, the Ticketmaster.com area.
Yes. Oh, we have a new website that's kind of constructed. SexyLiberal.com.
Look at
Facebook,
that.
Sexy Liberal. At Facebook. Check it out. All right. Mm-hmm. Upcoming tickets all available at Ticketmaster for Raleigh, Durham, Minneapolis, Boston. And we might have another big announcement during the show today.
Yeah, we're waiting to find out.
Yes, indeed.
We get the big go to give the
go. The go command, like a SEAL team.
Totally. Only not nearly, only crappily coordinated kind of half. Like, yeah.
Way too many loose lips in the Sexy Liberal show.
Yeah. I thought you had the garbage ties. What? I thought you had the garbage ties. Like, that would have been our SEAL thing.
Yeah, what? Like, where are the zip ties?
We would have been walking around shaking our guns. Like, I put the clip in upside down.
That's got to be a startling moment when you get zip-tied by a Navy SEAL. Huh? What?
You could do that?
I'm a hefty bag now. Mm-hmm. What the hell?
Yeah. I'm recycling. Just put me out with recycling.
Chris, you had some Navy SEAL fun facts that there were actually, because we've been having this whole debate. Some people on the left even are saying, oh, we should have captured him, had a trial. Well, and there, as it turns out, there were two teams.
Right. Chris in Connecticut points out that there were two teams set up after the raid, one for burial at sea, and the other consisted of lawyers and interrogators. Both were ready to go, whether bin Laden was captured or whether he was killed.
Yeah, so that's what
so
we were.
That was an option.
Yeah.
It wasn't some crazy leftist. Well,
but that's what I've been saying, Jim. Is that
I
think
capture him and interrogate him. That's crazy.
No, but that's what I was saying. Yeah. That I'm not prepared to question a Navy SEAL's judgment in that moment. But I think that
now we know had an option.
But we always assumed that you know if he were to surrender. Well, but I was saying, you know, you're Osama bin Laden. I mean, like you said, Hal, he could have had something that blew up all that information.
Whether he killed himself or whether he was allowing himself to be taken alive, he literally could have torched the entire building. He could have torched all the intel that was there. Mm-hmm. He could have killed himself, all the soldiers, and everybody with I mean, there's just 100 ways that those guys actually do that.
Right. You don't think that maybe bin Laden had planned for this eventuality, and you don't know.
He used to hang out with CIA guys.
Yes,
he was a CIA asset. Yeah, they all have that kind of a plan, and you know, secondary outs and all, and escape routes and. Mm-hmm. And ways to kill.
Oh, you know who we need to get on? Our friend Valerie Plame.
Mm, absolutely.
Yeah, I'd love to get on.
Jim Louise.
I can't say I blame you. I mean, talk about, like, I used to think, remember when you were a kid, you're like, you know, I know Bond girls are crap, but I'm glad there are movies with them in them. And then you kind of see her and you go, oh, I get it. Yeah, that actually is. Yeah. So the timeline that bugged me about the whole thing was not the, everybody seems to be
the torture question.
Yes, was fixated on whether or not we could have killed him at that moment. Okay, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is waterboarded by the Bush administration in 2003. He gives no actionable intelligence, mm-hmm. and he actually gives crap intel that leads to a bunch of different directions that don't help us at all. 2004 to 2005, they bring in a regular interrogator and they start getting real info from him. Mm-hmm. Some of that real info later will lead us to that courier. Okay.
Courier, right.
As soon as that real intel starts making its way up the chain to Rumsfeld and all those guys, he's immediately waterboarded. They go back to the situation where he was giving no information, and the desk of the bin Laden desk is shut down almost immediately.
Hmm.
And
seems like they didn't want to get bin Laden.
George Bush goes on television and says, you know, I don't even really think about him. I don't care. And here's the thing. You know how they always look at the Osama bin Laden videos and they go, we can't release him because he might be giving out codes to his operatives or whatever. I'm not saying that George Bush was working collusion with Osama bin Laden, but I will say that right about the time they shut down the desk, stopped looking at the intel that came that was legit, and Bush said on television, since he can't exactly email the guy, I don't really care that much about you, buddy.
So I don't know where he is. Yeah. Nor, you know, I just don't spend that much time on it,
that,
to be honest with you.
Within 6 months, yeah, that's when this compound was built.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and you
and
also
he's been
were
living
talking
there
about,
ever since.
You also were talking about that, you know, Bush had an agreement with Musharraf to do this exact kind of operation.
Everybody who says we have violated international law by going in there, then technically every single drone attack would have fallen under that, and there's been 1,200 of those. They could have filed with the UN on every single one of them, and some of them, unfortunately, killed citizens, you know, innocent Pakistanis who did not deserve to be in the UN, and yet they still did not file with the UN to stop the raids themselves because they had an agreement under a treaty that links to that
and
defense money we're giving
$3.6 billion
reasons
why money talks.
They don't care if we come into the country and do spot raids. We just weren't allowed to invade.
Yeah. Which is never what Obama said, what they tried to say he was saying. Oh, we should invade Pakistan. No, he was very
specific.
Clear on exactly. It's almost like he described this
what's
mission exactly. Yes.
Right.
Mark in San Francisco does not have adequate proof that Bin Laden is dead. Hello, Mark. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
I'm a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I just want to make that really clear from the beginning.
Well, I'm sure we can verify that.
We would be loving with
speaking.
You.
We'd like you to, for us to believe that, you have to fax in your card. We will need verification that you are a Democrat. I mean, we hear it on the radio and you hear it across the phone lines, but I don't know that that's a fact necessarily.
Well,
I would like
to
see
your body.
We
would be loving either way, Mark, but go ahead.
Yes.
Wow. Here's my point. For 30 years, the military have lied to us. Pat Tillman,
right.
Jessica Lynch, the list goes on and on. And it
Bush administration, Bush administration.
Well, also the Johnson administration.
That's true.
Tonkin was Democrat.
Right.
I mean,
yes.
There's plenty of history.
Well,
in
that one, I'm with you because he beat my dad. So,
okay, so
and partially that's why they won the landslide.
Can I speak, please?
No.
Yes.
Jesus.
Wow.
Wow.
Relax, dude.
Wow.
This is...
I'm trying to make a point.
All right.
Okay.
Well, you'll get there.
The president of the War College, several prominent figures in administrations in the past all said that Osama was killed in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Why should I believe the president now? Where's the proof?
Well, here's the problem with the whole thing. Given what happened with Pat Tillman and Jessica Lynch, when a lot of the stuff that we were told turned out not to be true, the camera wasn't running. It had been turned off. There wasn't this huge firefight. The women weren't used as human shields. None of that panned out. And then suddenly he's buried at sea. It looks suspicious if you've been paying attention to what's been going
sure
on.
Well, the other issue, though, is that...
This is why people are
oh, I totally get it. But I also know that, like, that one of the reasons why they kept saying, you know, Iran just came out and said he was dead years ago, and this is, you know, he's been dead for
a long
time.
A lot of people said dead, late 2001.
Exactly. This also offers the illusion that he was dead and that he was a non-issue allowed him to operate in some quarters because they assumed he was dead, mm-hmm. and therefore certain people were that was the how they actually drove away American intelligence. They said,
okay.
Well, he's actually
Mark,
dead.
Hey, Mark,
we don't
hang
need
on.
To look. We don't
wait,
need
wait,
to look
wait.
For him in
Mark,
our
let
area.
Mark, let me ask you one thing. Al Qaeda has come out and said it confirmed he's dead and vowed revenge. So would they be in on this conspiracy if this was not him that was killed?
Well,
Al-Qaeda is a CIA tool and has been for years, so, you know,
we created Al-Qaeda.
People
we didn't create, first of all, Al-Qaeda is a verbal construct. It's not an actual organization.
Right.
It is there's a top-tiered hierarchy that tries to create certain movements within many, many different groups. So Al-Qaeda was actually a CIA name for... a series of groups that were loosely connected.
So, Mark, let me get to the bottom. What do you believe?
Another question.
What do you believe about Bin Laden?
I have seen reports from eyewitnesses that were on the scene in Pakistan who said there was people living there, and it wasn't Osama. Not only that people who live in that neighborhood are forced to provide identification on a daily basis because of the proximity to a military base.
Right.
So these are eyewitness reports from reporters investigating, but we're not seeing any of that kind of follow-up, any of that kind of questioning.
A, yes, we are.
I believe in the president. I want to support the president, but he's making it very difficult.
Okay, but Mark, so the DNA, the videos that we've captured, captured, the Al-Qaeda confirming it, none of that.
The intel from it, the fact that that same newspaper that you're quoting, by the way.
The DNA issue is that it takes 48 hours for even the best.
No, that's not. That's incorrect.
No.
That is incorrect.
No,
that's
incorrect.
Yes, it is.
I've seen the tests myself, okay?
You've seen the tests on Bin Laden.
Not on Bin Laden, but on how you do a genetic test on a human being.
All right, Mark, we have to take
it's not that easy. You don't do this in a field hospital.
Well, believe me,
Mark,
it's not a field hospital they were using.
No, it's Mark. This has been very contentious, and yet it kind of has made me a little bit hot. And I appreciate you calling. I do.
Okay, you guys have a good day.
All right.
But the thing about the Al-Qaeda admitting it, I'm trying to research this, but I'm told that was actually a CIA website purporting to be putting out the
Al Jazeera also announced it as well. And if you're thinking that this is sort of a U.S. government-oriented construct, that starts to fall apart when you look at the other sources that are actually releasing that information.
Right. Well,
secondarily,
by the way, that was one of the
thing
things
is solved if he releases another live videotape. So
sure,
the idea is, I'll tell you what. If he puts out another videotape,
maybe from underwater,
in my lifetime,
ugly little octopus swims by.
Ugly.
Bye-bye, right. Snap-chop. You love my nut.
19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A perpetual motion machine, endlessly satisfying every human need.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the
word it up. I'm a lyrical gangsta. Word it up.
This is the Stephanie Miller
Thank
Show.
You, Ice.
Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
I beg your pardon. That's snow to you.
Okay.
Representative Marcy Kaptur of the great state of Ohio coming up after the bottom of the hour. Let's go to Ron in Asheville, North Carolina. Hey, Ron. Hello, Ron.
Hey, Steph.
Hi.
Everybody has a short memory in this country, including you and the mooks.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when we tried to bring the old boy that we waterboarded to Manhattan for the federal trial for mm-hmm. his crimes?
Yeah, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, yep.
Yeah, and we couldn't even get him brought in the country. Everybody was raising hell about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we couldn't get the Gitmo people brought to that maximum security prison in Indiana that's sitting out there way in that field, don't have anybody in it, mm-hmm. because we didn't want to bring in those people inside our country. How in the hell do they think they would have ever gotten Bin Laden in this country for trial?
You try him in The Hague. In Holland.
Try him in The Hague.
Yeah, but he's not a... I mean, that's the thing, Jim. It's not. This wasn't a war. This isn't a... You know, I mean, as Hal pointed out, Al-Qaeda's not an army.
They're not an army. They're not a recognized country. They're not a recognized entity dealt with by the UN. And that's actually a criminal trial. Technically speaking, it's 3,000 counts of murder, you know, is really what he would be up for.
I mean,
and
you know,
it would be a United States.
And it's interesting. I was just reading my sister's book about my dad and about his time as an assistant prosecutor at Nuremberg. And it just, you know, I just don't think it's an analogy, Jim. I don't think it's...
Well, it technically doesn't quite... It doesn't qualify.
He's a terrorist. Yeah.
I mean. And again, John Kerry was right. You do treat this in many ways like a criminal investigation. You treat it like you find an organized crime killer. You do the same things to do that. You don't just strafe bomb entire cities and hope you get him in the process. And that was the decision the president made in March, not to do that.
Yeah. Steve in Washington is a lawyer. Hello, Steve.
Oh, hi, Stephanie.
Isn't everyone in Washington a lawyer?
No.
State or D.C.?
No, I just had a quick comment. I guess I have a different way of looking at this Bin Laden thing. You know, so many people are rushing to say, oh, well, we executed Bin Laden without a trial, and that's so wrong. But the people who are saying that have convicted the SEALs of without
right.
a trial.
Right.
And
right.
Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And besides that, the guy cost us $4 to $6 trillion and a lot of lives and a lot of our constitutional rights. And I say good riddance to bad rubbish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. All
so
right.
Now that he's gone, can we get rid of the Patriot Act?
Yeah. Yes. Well, that would be lovely.
Please?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to say the war in Afghanistan and
get
the Patriot
rid of
Act.
Michael Chertoff's naked radiation machine.
Well, the interesting thing about it, too, and the timing of it, and the timing of this particular raid and getting it done was that, you know, the president wants to bring the troops home from Afghanistan starting in July. And there was all this pushback last year from the Republicans about, you can't end the Afghan war. And we're
no,
still
you need
there.
To escalate it now.
And
yes.
Now...
we got to get... Hmm? What?
They're
wait,
still
wait.
Trying to...
They're crap.
They're trying... Exactly. They're trying to jumpstart it still.
Mm-hmm. Roz in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Roz.
Hi. Well, you know, we take an awful lot for granted. I mean, we went into a foreign country and snatched this man out alive. Who's to say Pakistan wouldn't have demanded that we take him back to Pakistan and try him under Muslim law? Mm-hmm. And Pakistan has a powerful bargaining chip. They also have a nuclear weapon. This could have been a diplomatic
Well,
nightmare.
Yeah. I mean, Roz, look at they're already, I think, getting a little hinky on whether we can talk to Osama bin Laden's wives. They'd originally said we can. And I say we send Hal Sparks in to talk to them because he has just really magical effects on women. You could straighten those gals out, Hal.
Well, I think they would just find it a very supportive environment.
I couldn't wait
just
to get
saying,
out of the Burka.
There would be nothing in the area of...
One arm there with Hal Spartan. I am a new woman. Steve in Chicago. Hi, Steve.
What are you doing, Hal? I'm proofreading her memoirs.
Hi, Steve.
I think that the only people who are questioning this are Republicans who you're never going to change their opinion. Look at the birth certificate thing. It's right. Not going to happen. And liberals who are saying, look, I'm cynical. Look how smart I am.
Yeah.
I'm a stay-at-home dad. I'd like to give the liberals on TV and radio a piece of advice that I give to my girls. Choose your battles. Just because you have an opinion about this doesn't mean that you have to go riling up other people who are on the fence. We need to be together on this.
Yeah.
Look what science did with Pluto. Should I now question...
It's not a planet anymore.
That's why I put my pom-poms down instead of getting everybody all fired up. Huh. You know, talking... Yeah. Getting everybody fired up. I ain't no hollaback girl. Mm.
And
I'm
big,
a happy, clappy
liberal.
And big ups
to the stay-at-home dad and raising his girls. Good for you.
All right, 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I like the humming. Shows her pleasant disposition.
Stephanie Miller.
His morning hums are what helped get me out of bed.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. We're joined now by Representative Marcy Kaptur of the great state of Ohio. What am I saying? Good morning, Congresswoman.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
I am great. It's great to talk to you.
Same here.
A lot going on. You obviously made a statement, as many people did, about the killing of bin Laden. It is amazing to me. We've been still having this debate all morning long about people saying, woulda, coulda, shoulda, we should have done this, we should have captured him, we should have, you know, tried him, we did this wrong. I mean, it really is amazing, things that you would not think would be controversial, right?
Well, of course, it's a major... action by our country in a foreign land and in a very complicated part of the world. And it's great that, you know, Americans are paying attention and they're thinking about what was appropriate to do, what it took for our soldiers to do that, what our special forces have to go through, but also they just care about justice and trying to be American as we carry out these actions. So I'm proud of the American people.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, you know, as we've been saying, we're sort of, you know, the president, gosh, God knows, is moving on. And so are you. I love it's a very simple statement. Congresswoman Marcy Kaptur is urging John Boehner to allow the House of Representatives to vote on eliminating tax breaks for oil and gas companies. Speaking of things you think we could all agree on, you know, and I think you summed it up best. You said, why should the taxpayer subsidize the same oil companies that are charging more than $4 a gallon for gasoline? I mean,
that's right, and their profits are at historic levels.
Yep.
Just the top six companies. You know, you're talking in one quarter of a, you know, for certain companies making $10 billion. Or take a company like Exxon that made the largest profits in American history last year in the third or fourth quarter. the amount of gouging of the American people, some of which I think is due to speculation in the oil market. But nonetheless, pushing prices up, they're making windfall profits at a time when the American people are trying to dig out of this great recession. And, you know, the sad thing is most of these companies aren't drilling in the United States. They are. We're actually subsidizing foreign jobs, jobs in other places, rather than making our country energy independent and putting people to work here at home.
Yep. Well, you, I think you said the six largest oil companies reported more than $34 billion in profits for the first quarter of the year. The net income increased between 16% for BP, 69% for Exxon during the first 3 months compared to the same period a year ago. And I got to tell you, here in Los Angeles, Congresswoman, it cost me $97 to fill up my car.
What
I mean,
did you pay per gallon?
You know what? I'm
almost five here.
Yeah, it depends on which station you go to, but yeah.
Yeah, because I just paid $4.34 this morning. I didn't fill up my tank.
I know. I know. Don't you think how somehow you're saving money and you kind of bargain with yourself and you're like, well, I have to come back sooner. But, yeah.
And, you know, if you look at the trade deficit figures today, we now have the largest oil trade deficit in this year. It hasn't been this big since 1996. So we're importing this stuff rather than becoming energy independent here at home. Talk is cheap. But the question is, are we going to change this country or not?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I think once again it's pretty clear what's going on. You know, a few days ago, Speaker Boehner said he was open to this vote, and, you know, clearly the oil company lobbyists have gotten to him, because now what's happening?
Yes, and what's happening in his own state, one of his colleagues from Ohio in his party is talking about drilling in America. Well, I'll tell you what. We're drilling now more in America than ever before, but it still hasn't brought prices down. Prices are going up. We're drilling on federal lands. We had that accident offshore in Louisiana. So with that BP oil spill, you know, things kind of shut down there, but we're drilling offshore. But the consumption is so significant, and we're not transitioning to alternative forms of energy. We're still oil dependent, and that makes every American a hostage in their own land.
Mm-hmm. Representative Captain, the other, I mean, I have to say, maybe I shouldn't be surprised at anything Speaker Boehner does, but here he is yesterday on the budget and the debt ceiling.
And the cuts should be greater than the accompanying increase in the debt limit that the president has given.
This is kind of a risky, you know, I mean, they haven't been very good at delivering on promises thus far, have they? I mean, and now he's, I think this is a bit of a gamble, don't you?
Well, I'll tell you what, if he wants the country to go into default, I don't know if you noticed, but unemployment just ticked up a bit, you know, they're playing with fire.
Yep.
Because we're trying to dig out of this recession that Wall Street caused. And there's so much harm that's been done from coast to coast. California, my goodness, you've been hit so hard from one end of the state to the other, as has ours. We need to grow the economy. We need to create jobs. And if he's not careful, what he's going to end up doing is causing more layoffs.
Well, it seems like once again he's catering to this Tea Party base of his. I'm reading one top Republican aide said it's a mistake. Look at what happened with Pledge to America on the 2011 budget. It is setting an unobtainable bar. You know, I mean, like I say, this isn't really just a shutdown. I mean, not raising the debt ceiling is really catastrophic. I mean, as you say, I really think it's playing with fire because
It really means that you don't pay your bills. It means that you don't do what you should. Now, we all are in the budgets that I'm a part of here in the Congress. We're all trimming programs. We're cutting back. But not everything's on the table. Only 12% of the budget is on the table. And the debts that have been accumulated over time, and particularly by the last administration investing wars without paying for them, the accumulated debt is huge now. And you just can't say to people in Los Angeles or Toledo, Ohio or New York City, well, you know what, now we're going to stop road construction because it's more traffic jams, more tie-ups, more problems, more deferred maintenance, more potholes, more accidents. That's the answer to America.
Right.
Well, we really can't hire air control controllers. You know, they're falling asleep, so therefore let's let more of them fall asleep. We can't kill the baby. You know, we've got to keep her living while we grow this economy.
Yeah, well, Congresswoman, their math just doesn't add up to me. So their plans to overhaul entitlement programs, of course, is coming under massive fire in polling and at their town halls. But without changes to Medicare, how are they going to reach what Boehner's goal said, you know, trillions in spending cuts? They've ruled out tax increases. They don't want serious cuts in defense spending. I mean, I just don't see where this debate goes.
I think there's an old expression, they're whistling Dixie. They can't get there from here.
Right.
And he wants to do with Medicare is to voucher it out to the next generation and say, well, you go on the private market and buy insurance. Well, guess what? It'll be more unaffordable. Citizens will have to pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars more for their premiums, so it'll be unaffordable, and it'll be moving America backwards. I think there are better ways to solve the entitlement needs of the future rather than just vouchering it out and putting everybody out there in really a very, very unfavorable insurance environment.
He's not
realistic.
I know. Well, the good news for you fighting in the trenches there is, according to polling, destroying Medicare and giving rich people more tax cuts, not popular. Killing Bin Laden, popular. So you're on the right side of the issues, and we always appreciate your time. Thanks so much, Congresswoman.
All right. Thank you, Stephanie. Have a good day.
You too. All right. There she goes.
It's amazing to me how must it feel to have rolled yourself out of your bed onto your rascal scooter, put a new sheen of blue on your hair, pulled the plug out of your rechargeable scooter, by the way, your electric vehicle, drove it up into the back of the passenger van that's paid for by local, by your state or city municipality to help people who are don't have vehicles and stuff get around. Take that uptown to the Glenn Beck, Sarah Palin event that you got to go to for free, and rolling out there with and unveiling your sign that says "Keep your government hands out of my Medicare."
Yeah, exactly.
And then to have gone and voted for these people who, for the first time, officially go.
By the way, I hope somebody slips in a Hal Sparks and Stephanie Miller teabagging flag into the next teabagger rally.
Oh, good stuff.
Because it looks just like the Don't Tread on Me. Yeah, it's yellow.
It's just me squatting on your face.
Senator.
Wow.
Senator Mitch McLipless on the.
We need to get serious now.
All right.
Before the crisis that we know is coming. And that means entitlement reform needs to be on the table.
That means we need to cause a crisis now. Huge crisis. Destroy
now?
Everything now, rather than wait for the crisis to hit.
Now a warning about the deficit? How about when Bush was running it up? Now we need to get serious.
Well, obviously, the only crisis that they can wrap their head around is one of a strictly monetary form. If something looks like it costs a lot of money to them, that's the only metric they use.
Unless it's for the military. And then, tax cuts for billionaires.
But even then, that's what I mean. It's all kind of like you just throw money at it if it's something I agree with. But the point is that the cost of life and the damage done to human beings and the actual effect that money spent gives in a, you know, back to you in terms of human health, welfare, and happiness for Americans.
All right. Robin in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show real quick. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Steph. Sorry about the background noise, but I'm driving a truck.
Yay.
And I'd like to be the official truck driving blues man of the Stephanie Miller
Show.
Woo.
Nice.
Hello.
All right.
Hi.
I have a question for this guy that said it takes 48 hours to do a DNA test.
Right.
Why has Jerry Springer been able to do it in an hour to establish fatherhood for the last 20 years?
Yeah, exactly. Good question.
Because Jerry Springer's magic.
You are the smartest boy in class today. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Right Wing World next as we continue Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Boys like.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, come on, don't rub it in. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. All right, we continue Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Let's dive into the right-wing world, shall we? Where there's nothing but big buckets of bull. On torture, for instance, from Bill O'Reilly.
What is to be gained from this kind of division within the country now that we know that coerced interrogation did help find bin Laden?
No, actually, the problem was when they used coerced intelligence.
Must Hal do the timeline again?
Yes. All right. 2003. They were waterboarding him. He gave unactionable intelligence or no intelligence at all, meaning that he was making crap up to
otherwise,
make it stop.
Yeah, otherwise, if it worked so well, you wouldn't have to waterboard him 83 times.
Right. Then they stop waterboarding him. He gives us some actually useful information. As soon as the useful information makes it to Dick Cheney's desk, Dick Cheney goes, I didn't want useful information. Go waterboard him until he tells us what we want to hear. And seriously, I think Dick Cheney when
did Dick Cheney waterboard anyone in the CIA to get the weapons of mass destruction intelligence from the CIA?
Yeah, no. But the point is, the CIA goes, you can't do that kind of stuff because they just make up crap.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll tell you whatever you want to hear. And Dick Cheney went, perfect.
That's what I want.
Start dunking these idiots, and this is what I want to hear.
Likes.
I want to hear that Iraq has WMD. Mm-hmm. I want to hear that this guy was involved with that guy, and keep dunking them underwater until they tell us that. And then
tell us the right lies.
And then we can go to the UN and say, these guys told us that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and only Sean Hannity could reach this conclusion from the killing of bin Laden, which, by the way, President Obama accomplished and President Bush didn't.
Without enhanced interrogation, without rendition, without black sites, this day would not have been possible.
Yeah.
So if we want more successful days like this, we must argue that the Obama policies were wrong and the Bush policies were right. They won't get, this is the first time that Bush hasn't gotten any credit.
My head just, it's Scooby-Dooed entirely around.
That argument is more tortured than Kelly Chickenhauer.
Wow. Okay, we'll just leave that lay there like the big giant
steamer that it is.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. All right, Vincent Curiolatola?
Yeah, he's an actor on The Sopranos.
So he's an expert in what? Terrorism for some reason?
Yeah.
Oh, much like Charlie Daniels was a Iraq war expert of some sort. Mm-hmm.
Who sells racist dolls in his shop?
Who did he play
on
The Sopranos? Vincent who?
I have no idea.
You know what? It's their bad karma. Bad things happen. None of these people, none of these camel jockeys ever should have started with us. This is what they get when they play with us.
Wow. That's
Seriously? He had an actor from The Sopranos to call Muslims camel jockeys? And that was okay?
This is what happens.
This is what happens. They get whacked. These friggin' camel jockeys.
On camera, anyway. For a paycheck.
P.S. I will be at the Italian-American Anti-Defamation meeting as I start in The Sopranos, and yet we are trying to move past and get the idea that we are all mobsters out of this room. They are fine Italian-Americans.
Listen, none of you towelheads got any complaints about us being racist or anything like that.
All right. By the way, season 3 of Sopranos now available on DVD. But I was not... meaning to demean Italian Americans like those towers that go overseas.
Bada bing.
Yeah, the DVD will just cost you a few guineas.
Yeah,
dollars,
I mean,
bada boom, bada bing.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow, that was.
Well, it's okay. You know,
thanks
he doesn't
for that, Chris.
Because Italian Americans were never denigrated or assumed to be a part of a killer organization when they were just trying to live their lives.
Wow.
That never happened to Italians, so maybe he just doesn't understand.
Hey, it's Sicilians.
This is a little museum of right-wing oddities this morning. Who's this? Mark Bernier? He's a radio host?
Bill was getting pretty thin over there.
In Orlando.
Oh, okay.
He's a right-wing radio host in Orlando?
Yeah.
What is this, the right-wing world C-list today?
Yeah, really. Are they?
I thought Orlando consisted entirely of Disney World. There's an actual Orlando?
Actually, he's in a display in Epcot Center of the past.
Here he is.
What's all this whining about the use of waterboarding? I mean, you got the same people who would put a bullet into bin Laden's head now saying, oh, this is too severe. You have a controlled method of deriving information that might lead to a killer. And I use the simplest format, Gretchen. If you had a child who was captured, and you had to use waterboarding to find out where she was to get her safe returned, wouldn't you use it?
Why do they use that same hack example every time?
Because here's the thing.
Same lie.
They're not going to tell you. They're going to tell you anything, so you go look for her, and she's going to end up dead. That's what always happens.
Why wouldn't you do that if a child was in danger?
If all evidence points to the fact that if you beat the guy up, he'll make crap up and not lead you to your missing child, why wouldn't you just go ahead and do that? I mean, this might be the one time that it doesn't work.
But I saw it on TV. Jack Bauer did it
all the time. That's the only way to extract.
Rush Limbaugh.
We don't need more revenues, folks. We need less spending. We need less spending. And I, by the way, I still want Obama to fail. Lest there be any doubt.
Now, you notice when he got crap for that before, he said, I want him to fail, but I don't want him to fail. I want his policies to fail or whatever. Well, one of his policies was, if Pakistan refuses to or cannot get Osama bin Laden and we have actionable intelligence, we will. That was one of Obama's policies. That wasn't just a single action. He said it during the campaign. Mm. He carried it out. That was something he wanted.
And so, I wanted it to fail.
Right, exactly. So,
really
for the record,
it succeeded.
Rush Limbaugh would rather Osama bin Laden be alive and funneling money to
and
Al-Zawahiri to this
more,
day.
If I have to pay more tax, I can only afford 1,000 Oxycontin a month and not the 2,000.
Right.
All right, Glenn Beck.
I got to get a hip replacement for my...
I really haven't had many problems. I've never really experienced any kind of discrimination. Really, honestly, and this kind of is, I mean, not even kind of... This is offensive in many ways. The only discrimination I've probably faced is I'm a conservative. I'm somebody who believes in the Tea Party. Mm. That's the discrimination that I've faced.
Yes. Yes. Who has had a worse plight than a millionaire white man in America?
I can't wait till I Have a Dream speech. No wonder he felt the need to stand on the very steps where Martin Luther King Jr. stood. The discrimination, because
I have a dream. One day, rich white people can hold hands with other rich white people
and pander to each other.
Without there being so much melanin around. Okay. Buddy, where is he? Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Buddy.
Hey, Mama. Trace Mooks. Let's boil this out all down to the simple, irreducible truth. You know, they bring out Condi and Cheney and Fox News and Robbie all yakking about how the torture worked. Well, if the torture worked, why was bin Laden still alive?
Thank you.
You know, he'd been living in the same place for 6 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just put the bottom line on it. If it worked, why was he still alive?
Thank you. Yeah. That's far too logical.
Four of those years, the torture was not only going on, but was the main choice for that type of information extraction.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour, we continue Hump Days with Al Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Time to get your sexy on. Sexy liberal Al Sparks is here. He and John Fugelsang and I will be in Syracuse, New York, this Saturday. Yay. Ticketmaster.
Oh, splendid. This calls for a sexy party.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. We will be there at the Krause Heinz Theater. Get your tickets now. Going fast.
The Krause Heinz Theater.
SexyLiberal.com is the website. We are SexyLiberal at Facebook. Check it out. We got a lot of upcoming dates. We may even have another huge announcement before the end of the show. TikTok.
Yes.
Where are my promo monkeys? Fly, promo monkeys, fly!
You can't demand speed when you don't pay them.
Oh, listen, don't quibble with me over details.
Put them up.
We are video streaming at both StephanieMiller.com and HalSparks.com. You can email us all at StephanieMiller.com.
I thought the Blue Monkeys were unionized. I was mistaken.
I would only use union monkeys, you know that.
Going by how most Wicked Witches run their workshop, I go, no.
I think most Wicked Witches are Republican, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. Keith, a gem, it's for you. Hmm? A captive Bin Laden, we've been having this debate all morning. Steph, just a point for the callers and Jim who believe it would have been better to capture Osama Bin Laden.
Including Eric Holder, the Attorney General.
Oh, whatever. I am not sure how terrorism really works outside of movies. Well, who really is? But we all know that one of the most commonly used hijack/terror scenarios in Hollywood is the exchange of hostages for the release of high-level terrorists. This would seem to be a logical bargaining chip. I'm not sure it would have been a good idea to have a live captive Osama bin Laden on our hands. Right. I have heard that argument.
You're watching
before.
Too much TV.
I'm just saying. I think it could have led to Americans being captured, troops being in more danger, maybe more attacks. I'm just saying. I think there is some logic to that.
I suppose.
All right.
Coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Listen, that was the begrudging. I'll take it. That's the best I've gotten from Jim lately. Thank you, Jim.
Why?
That was almost happy clappiness from Jim.
It's his own version.
For me.
Yes.
Holy smokes.
All right. Oh, what? He's a contrarian. That's all right.
No, I'm not.
See what I did there?
Wow, that stings.
Oh, dear. And Mrs. Ward seems very happy. I was just curious. Are you like that in your personal life? You go, you shouldn't have done it that way. You should have done it this way.
No.
See?
No.
No. See?
Well, yeah, are you? Or do you not? Are you just saying no just to say no?
Huh?
All right.
When did you stop beating your wife?
When did you? Yes. I beg your pardon?
Scott and Joyzy, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Scott.
Hi, guys. I read yesterday that the AP and a bunch of news organizations are officially taking the stance that they demand to see bin Laden's death photo or they refuse to make as news that he's dead. And this is just another example of the corporate media who did whatever the Bush administration wanted. Our most liberal paper, quote-unquote, The Times, had a reporter literally writing whatever the administration told her to write going up to Iraq. Now that it's Obama in charge, they refuse to believe whatever he says, and it's just the continued denigration and distraction to make it about Obama and make them never agree with anything he does so we don't pay attention to what's really going on because the corporate media doesn't want us to do that because they're taking over. The corporation is taking over. They know that if we pay attention to that or the debt ceiling argument that, you know, they're going to be in big trouble. So they distract us. And it's just another example, and that really ticked me off yesterday, so I'm up in arms about it.
Well, there you are. Absolutely now you've gotten it out of your system.
Almost canceled my subscription to the LA Times, and they kicked out Robert Scher and replaced him with
Jonah Goldberg.
P.S., you know.
Sometimes I start reading him by accident, and I'm like, what the hell am I? Oh, it's Jonah.
Of course it is.
The House of Representatives.
I got to get a bird so I can put this on the bottom of the bird cage.
Angry birds.
The House of Representatives had time to add former President George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush to the federal courthouse in Midland, Texas, where the Bushes once lived. They took time out of their legislative schedules to do that. But according to Eric Cantor, they did not have time to honor the Navy SEALs who caught and killed Osama bin Laden. They just didn't have time to do it, you know.
Jim, Hal, I've been
too busy.
Jim and Chris act like I'm crazy, but don't you think a lot of people are playing Navy SEAL sex games? Don't you think? I mean, it's a good, you know,
not that weren't
fantasy.
Before. You know what I mean? I mean? There might be a couple of stragglers who decided to give it a shot, but I think that most
give
of
it
people
a
are.
Shot?
See what happened there.
You're saying there's a lot of shooting in the face going on?
Oh, right. You got me in the eye. That's not right. That's
see, and I even have a sound effects box, so I could even do the helicopter sound effect. You see,
with your box?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Why, who's that? I wonder who's landing on my roof. Why?
He's right upstairs.
Oh!
Ma'am.
Oh, she looked like bin Laden. I'm sorry.
I need you to take me to Osama bin Laden. I'll take him, but only if you'll do something for me in return.
All right, here's
Did
you order
really?
A pizza?
Here's some good news. America has come to their senses. Why? The headline is Trump's 2012 polling plummets.
Really?
Yeah.
It's plummeting hugely.
John
huge
Stewart had
plummet.
Called the early fervor over Trump premature ejaculation. As it turns out, he was correct. He is no longer effectively branded among the top tier of the
9%.
Yeah.
From
yes.
20.
He tied for fifth place.
We got a helicopter. It's
26 to 9%. in
wow.
8 days.
That's a free fall.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what that is.
Mike Huckabee now leading at 19%, Romney at 18%. Trump tied with Ron Paul at 8%. Remember Ron Paul? He said he can't get elected. You need someone who can get elected. Now he's at the same level as Ron Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Those numbers,
by the way, if I was a Ron Paul supporter, I would be really offended.
Yeah, he went from, in this poll, 26% to 8% in just the,
Whee!
One pollster said Republican voters burned out on him pretty fast, especially after the birther issue lost some of its potency with the release of President Obama's birth certificate.
Yeah.
That tended to
and
take the
air out of
him.
And the fact that the president pantsed him at the correspondence dinner over that issue.
Yeah. And then killed Bin Laden.
Then we find out that the action to kill Bin Laden was actually in process.
Right.
And when he's going, these are the decisions that would keep me up at night, right. As a joke
by the
about
way,
the firing of Gary Busey.
Did you
and
hear?
And then knowing about the number of decisions he'd had to make in the last 12 days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you hear what Donald Trump now thinks is the worst thing for America? It is making fun of Donald Trump is bad for America.
Mm.
He was on Fox News and he was asked, you know, when you go home at night, you talk to your wife and you think about all this. How does this hammering, in your words, how does that get factored into the decision, I guess, about running for president? He said, well, I think it's very bad for the country. And it doesn't affect my decision because I think I have a pretty thick skin. But I think it's very bad for the country. You heard it. You're fired, America.
You're fired.
You're just bad. You're bad. Mocking Donald Trump is bad for America.
As a leader, as a ruler, he would not like to be mocked by the people. He thinks that's bad for the
It tends to affect his credibility to be exposed as a giant buffoonish clown.
And it'll be much harder for him once he becomes king president to put his face all over the side of every major building in the country.
He probably even launched airstrikes against rival hotel chains.
Right. That's in his briefing that he goes to CIA guys. Here's my plan.
Robert in Los Angeles. Hi, Robert.
Hello. How are you?
Hello.
I think it's absolutely contradictory to this whole Bin Laden execution, essentially, when you have Bush having created all these war crimes and illegal invasions and talk about justice, why aren't we talking about bringing these people to trial?
Oh, we have talked about
that.
Over and over.
And there was a process.
Another dream of mine that's died.
There was a process. Well, I think he meant, did he mean Osama Bin Laden?
I think he meant Bush.
He was talking about Bush.
Oh, well,
Yeah. All right, Joe in Long Beach. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Steph. Good morning.
Good morning.
A couple of things. I saw an interview with Donald Trump this morning.
Mm-hmm.
He says that his numbers plummeted after he fired Jones and he lost the vote of the blacks.
Yeah, somehow.
My good friend is blacks.
For some reason, after I called him the blacks, mine poll numbers in with the blacks seem to, for some reason, be affected adversely.
Was it John Stewart who said, Seth Meyers at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. He goes, Donald Trump said he has a great relationship with the blacks. Unless the blacks are a family of white people, I think he might be mistaken.
And then did you see his latest one? He said he couldn't possibly be racist. He's the least racist person in the world because a black guy won The Apprentice 6 years ago.
I let a black guy through. How not racist is that?
Yeah.
Exactly.
One out of six seasons.
Hugely not racist.
I fought it tooth and nail, and he wasn't my choice, and the producers shoved him through, but I let it happen.
Ben in Rochester. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Steph and the Mooks. How's everybody?
Good.
Howdy.
Hey, I just got a couple of things. If they're so big on saying that waterboarding was one of the main tactics they used to information for Bin Laden, why are they not taking credit for the recession and Bush's taxes? I have not heard them say anything about that yet.
Yeah, that's a neat trick. Yes.
All the tricks that they used to get us into a recession, and then they waited until after Obama was voted in to say, we're in a recession now.
Yeah,
and
right.
To that guy, Mark, who called and don't believe that Bin Laden is captured and caught, we got to give Obama all the credit due because he just saved the country about $2 billion on catching and killing him and throwing him into the ocean.
Yep, exactly. All right, honey.
You know, the other issue, of course, being that we didn't have to stage an entire invasion of Pakistan. You know, literally, the solution to the situation with Osama bin Laden under the Obama doctrine, if there is one, is send 35 guys in, set up two teams, and take him out individually. The Bush version is go to a completely different country run by a guy who had no business or connection with the guy and drop 150,000 of our men and women into harm's way.
Yeah.
Well, Bush declared war on a tactic.
Right.
Shock and awe.
Obama just went in and got the guy.
And yeah. another country that yeah. didn't right. use that tactic on us.
I think the important story, at least for me, in the drunk stack is strap-on condoms have been invented for drunks. I think it's important
strap-on
that we...
Strap-on condoms.
A company has unveiled a strap-on condom designed to help drunk people have sex. The census features pull-on straps.
Is it a condom for your strap-on, or is it that you attach
it stays on all night?
It
features pull-on straps to aid when a man is inebriated. It's a, you know, it's like
Yet another thing that, like, choke fish in streams.
Yeah.
All I can see is
that
the
sexy.
And more of the
emergency... put that on as sexy.
The emergency room visits from... drunks. I just tried fun. It's kind of. I can't feel my foot. I can't feel my foot.
All right. 18 minutes after the hour.
One of the straps and it smacked in the face. I think your tooth is loose.
That's hot. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Have no fear. Steffi's here. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. You know what I mean?
And I do my little
meow. Yeah, the catwalk.
Yeah. Well. 24 minutes after the hour. Hey, speaking of sexy, fellow sexy liberal John Fugelsang just booked himself on tonight's Joy Behar to promote our Syracuse date this Saturday. Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, Stephanie Miller, the Sexy Liberal Show. Saturday. Cross Hines Theater. Go to Ticketmaster.com. I think tickets are going to go, you know, be bye-bye, so you better hurry. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Speaking of meow, this is yet another story, Chris. I think it goes without saying that I'm always right and you're wrong. But about cats being evil.
Mm-hmm.
Man airlifted after fight with cat. See, now that...
I guess
that
the cat won.
That cat him up. Yeah, that's pretty much, you know, mm-hmm. you got to be airlifted out. That's a fight you should not have started. He might have started it. The cat finished it.
That's one angry pussy.
So sad that the cat had him, like, face down in the kitty litter. And
Say I'm the man.
Say I'm the man.
Clean my litter box.
Hmm.
I don't know if a hospital can help you if a cat has sucked your soul out while you sleep.
Yeah. A Cleveland man was attacked by a house cat Friday afternoon, and the man's injuries were so severe he had to be taken by air ambulance to a memorial hospital in Houston. At some point during the attack, the man and the cat reportedly were injured by a knife the man was holding.
Oh. Well, no wonder the cat attacked him. He was trying to cut it with a knife.
Right. Mm-hmm. Who knows who started what?
The beast is vicious. When attacked, it defends itself.
Mm-hmm. But I love that the man was hurt. But did the cat, like, grab the knife and, like, go, oh, really? You think so? I mean, what? That's a weird story.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
Just saying.
Yes.
That cat him up. All right.
The cat was a Navy SEAL.
Apparently. God, thank God there wasn't a gun involved. His eye would be gone now.
There's some cats who actually swim in water. They actually like water.
Wow.
It could be Navy SEALs.
That would be surprising, too. All right.
Thundercats, our goal.
Bethany in Chicago. Jim, it's for you.
Hmm?
Hi, Beth.
Hello, Jim. I'm tuning in an hour later just to be for you. I agree with you. I think there was a caller about corporate media, and what's not being covered is Raymond Davis, you know, that we're contracting CIA agents now. And just what a bad idea it was at contracting these wars and where it's led us, unnecessary wars. And I think that we needed this to continue drone attacks and to, and because Pakistan's really upset with us for killing innocent people. Mm.
The drones are a tough one. We've taken out a lot of Al-Qaeda with the drones, you know.
A lot of children, too. Right. I mean, we're creating terrorists. We really need a new foreign policy for a while, a decade now. And I think this kind of cheerleading, it's kind of creepy.
Well, cheerleading for what?
Wargasm.
Yeah, wargasm.
I'm not for wars. I was for killing Bin Laden.
I think that is important.
I was for killing Bin Laden without a war. That's what I was for.
Yeah, I think that's the specific distinction being made here, especially, I think, on the left, and the one that we can sort of afford to literally visit and talk about legitimately and openly.
Is it worth getting the bad guys if we kill a lot of civilians in the process?
No, I'm saying the exact opposite should be true. I don't think it is. Therefore, I think these kind of missions have a lot more value and should be the focus in situations like this.
Surgical.
This is where John...
And I think after 9/11, I mean, when you have a group like the Taliban that is harboring the terrorists that planned these attacks, I don't know what else you're going to do. But I thought one good point about the corporate media that's correct. Former Bush staffers outnumbered Democrats on Sunday morning shows 3-1.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As Rachel Maddow, thank God for her, asked last night, is the biggest story in American politics right now retirees from the Bush administration and how they feel about stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, what?
Who cares what these people think?
Yeah, mm-hmm. The people that didn't get them were so incompetent that we're asking them what they think now.
And they turned the surplus into a giant deficit.
Well, I would have done it like this. You actually did do it like that, and you still didn't, and you didn't get him.
Yes, but I would have done this with my hands.
Right.
Yes, we did it like this.
Gestured.
We said it like that. James in Oakland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, James.
Hi, Mama.
Hi. Go ahead.
I wanted to shift gears a little bit. The other day, we were talking to Chaz Bono.
Yes.
And I had the opportunity to have my 15-year-old step. Child, listen to it, because she recently came out as being a transgendered.
Oh, wow.
And, it was very intense. And I wanted to mention that, people are kind of getting on Cher about having a hard time with Chaz, first being a lesbian and now a trans. And, our kid couldn't have come from the most liberal family she could ever have and wish to have, and we still have a hard time with it.
Oh, yeah. No, James, I totally get that. That's why I think the documentary is so great, because Cher's really real in it and, and is struggling, but I think loving, in the end. All right, Representative Elliot Engel next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller
is idiot,
dummy,
jerk,
whore.
Oh, boy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Politics, isn't it fun? Oh.
Backstage at the Stephanie Miller Show.
Backstage at the Sexy Liberal Show. All right. Coming to New York, by the way, Syracuse this Saturday, May 14th. We're very, very excited. Giving some of the money to the folks, marriage equality folks. We're going to be talking about the anti-fracking folks will be joining us as well. So come on out to the Krause Heinz Theater. Speaking of great things from New York, Representative Elliot Engel, one of our very personal favorites, joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. When are you coming downstate? I want to, come see you.
I know. Well, Sarah, we're starting in Syracuse, but we'll work our way to you.
All right. It's a deal. It's a deal.
All right. So obviously the president talking about immigration yesterday, and, once again, this seems like such a common sense solution to me, just some form of comprehensive immigration reform. And I think the president made good points about what would be enough for the Republicans for him to do in order to come to the table on immigration.
I don't think anything. I think everything they do, frankly, is politically motivated, and whatever they think. I saw a cartoon the other day about the right wing talking to each other and saying, well, I guess we have to give the president some credit, so let's talk to him. And then they say congratulations, and the president is a Bush. They will be opposed to anything the president comes up with. And immigration reform, everybody. If you play to the worst instincts of people, then it's a terrible thing. You have all these illegals here, and you have people wanting to just change our way of life and doing all kinds of things, when the truth is immigration to this country has always been a positive thing, because who wants to come here? Not lazy people. Lazy people stay home. If people are coming to this country, learning a new language, and they want to do better for themselves and their families, and at the same time, by working hard, they do better for the country, I'm all for it. I think we get a top high quality person. So I just think comprehensive immigration reform makes a lot of sense. We can keep our head in the sand and pretend that there aren't undocumented people here, or somehow we're going to round them up and send them home, which is absurd. And I think it's saying that, you know, it's reality. It was done under Reagan. That was supposed to end the problem with immigration. But the fact of the matter is, unless these different countries can get a middle class, can have jobs, they're going to still come here. It doesn't mean that we don't have laws that need to be listened to, and I'm all for it. But the fact of the matter is, the ones who are here are here, and we ought to give them a way to work themselves to citizenship, and comprehensive immigration reform is the best way.
Well, you know, I know you personally, along with many of us, just we're heartbroken about the Dream Act, because you think if you can't at least start there, which obviously that was killed by Republicans, I mean, if you can't start with, you know, people that came here as kids or infants, and, you know, through they didn't break the law. And now they've worked hard, and we can't even agree that those people should have a path to citizenship. I mean, it's. I know. Yeah, I don't know where you go from
here.
Well,
you know, some of them don't even speak the language of the country in which they were born. You know, they're born in some country, say in South America, and their parents take them here when they're one or two. They don't speak Spanish. They speak English with an American accent, and somehow you're going to grab them, dump them back, and you know, not say that they're not Americans. It's just common sense. I mean, it's just common sense. It's the other side plays on fear, and I try to look at common sense. And so I think that the president, you know, people are always beating on the president. He's promised to do this, and he didn't do that. Well, he's got a lot on his plate. I think that his heart's in the right place. I think he wants to do it. I think we're going to try to do it. But, you know, given the fact that the Republicans now control the House, makes it very, very difficult, if not impossible.
Let's talk about the, you know, the debt and the debt ceiling, the budget. I mean, it just, look at where John Boehner is starting on that. I mean, it seems like a really, I understand, like, you know, he has to cater to his Tea Party base and seem like, oh, I'm starting the negotiating point here,
right.
But I mean, it makes no sense, does it? What he said?
Well, it makes no sense, and it's you know, the classic example of what we call in New York is chutzpah. You know, it's gall. It's nonsense. First of all, we cannot afford not to raise the debt ceiling, because what are the consequences of defaulting? It would be catastrophic all around the world. You know, if you have a credit card and you don't pay your bills, you just don't walk away and say, oh, okay, I'm not going to pay my bills. There are consequences. And there would be terrible economic consequences for the United States, and they know it. And my attitude is that since they control the majority, we shouldn't pass a debt ceiling rise with Democratic votes. You know, they're in the majority. Let them pass it. I don't want to take any of their guys off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it really should be. You know, they're counting on the fact that, well, you know, we can with Democratic votes, all of a sudden they want our votes, you know, on something like this. On everything else, they shut us out. They don't allow us to change or improve legislation. But on this, you know, they'll take Democratic votes to let their Tea Party people off the hook.
Right.
I think that it's irresponsible. The Speaker knows it's irresponsible. And shame on us if we let them get away with it.
Well, it's
absurd.
Representative Engel, you know, it continues to frustrate me. Look at oil subsidies, where, you know, Boehner sort of indicated he was going to allow a vote on that. I'm looking at polling in front of me. 9 in 10 Americans blame Wall Street and big oil for spiking gas prices. I'm paying nearly $100 to fill my tank.
Mm-hmm.
Oil companies are making record profit, you know, profits. And listen to Senator Claire McCaskill.
If we cannot end subsidies to the five biggest, most profitable corporations in the history of the planet that come from the federal taxpayer, then I don't think anyone should take us seriously about deficit reduction.
I mean, that's—I just don't understand how they have any credibility. I don't understand how, in the midst of this, you know, deficit argument, they think that the oil companies should still deserve subsidies.
Well, let's remember. I always like to remind people that they controlled both the House and the Senate for 6 of the 8 Bush years. So they controlled all three parts, the House, the Senate, and the presidency. They could have done anything they wanted and gotten it passed if they were really serious on wanting to reduce the debt. They're not. They're really not. They are using the debt problem and the problem with the budget to try to get rid of every social program they've hated for the past 70 years. And by the way, that's why the polls are now swinging back in the Democrats' favor, because people understand And the Republicans have always hated Medicare and Medicaid, and they want to gut it. They want to blow it up. They want to change it. And they can sugarcoat it any way they want. They, you know, they can talk about how they're trying to save it or whatever. The fact is people are not stupid. If you want to turn these programs into a block grant or a program or voucher system, it's not going to work. And seniors will find that they will have inferior health care. And I think that as Democrats, we ought to pound that just the way they pounded health care reform and made it sound like we did something wrong, which wasn't the truth. Here it is the truth. They're trying to do something wrong, and we ought to beat them over the head with it. And,
well,
and I think that's why that you're going to upstate New York. We have a race in upstate New York. It's a three-way race.
The 26th district.
Right,
how about
that?
It's been always been Republican, and it's in a dead heat, right?
Right. And that's because people understand that what the Republicans want to do to destroy Medicare and Medicaid, and they're not happy with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, look, I think the polling is showing Americans have a basic sense of fairness. I just love this example. Your colleague, Representative Tim Scott, Republican of South Carolina, was asked if giving taxpayer money to massively profitable companies like ExxonMobil and Chevron is fair. He said, well, fair is a relative word. I mean, it's who thinks that's... Here's a Senator Harry Reid. I mean, the math is fairly simple.
The industry's $36 billion in quarterly profits means they're making about $12 billion a month.
And the next headline I'm reading is House Republicans to long-term unemployed, drop dead. So
well,
it's fair to cut, in this economy, unemployment, but it's fair to give subsidies to oil companies.
Well, it's ludicrous. It's unfair. And, you know, they rant and rave about the debt. The debt increased most under George W. Bush and Reagan, not the Democrats. And there is an analysis of how we got to where we are with the debt. And believe me, it's all these tax subsidies for wealthy corporations. It's tax breaks for the rich. And it's all the things that Republicans like, and they all of a sudden they're, you know, fiscal conservatives. They have this newfound religion of getting rid of the deficit. But when they had the opportunity to do it, they didn't do it. And I remind people that when George W. Bush came to office after Bill Clinton, we had record surpluses, and we could have had that, never had a problem. Yeah. But he decided to launch two wars, not paid for, and decided to give tax breaks to the rich, and there went the deficit. There went the surplus, and deficit now as far as the eye can see.
Yeah, and Congressman Engel, before you go, I have to say, being from New York, I was living in New York during 9/11, and didn't you just think this is such a moment of just American, justice long served and all that? Have you been surprised at the reaction where, you know, either they will not give President Obama credit, they need to give President Bush credit for some reason, he didn't do it the right way, this, that. I mean, it really is stunning, isn't it?
Well, it's stunning, and what it shows, I think rather than hurt President Obama, it really hurts them, because it shows that no matter what he does, they will find fault with. No matter how he decides to do something, they will find fault with. I think that the fact that his favorable ratings went up to 60%, I heard that this morning, I think the American people aren't fooled. You know, they can no longer accuse Barack Obama of being soft on national security or anything like that. I think the fight it's going to be the economy. I think that it's clear that the economy is improving. I think that the policies of the Republicans put us into a near depression, and Obama's been trying to climb out of it, and we will climb out of it, and I think he'll win overwhelmingly. And I think we've got a real shot at winning back the House and keeping the Senate.
Oof.
I just think people are not stupid.
I'm certainly heartened by, you know, a lot of the polling, particularly the one showing Donald Trump having plummeted. So the American people do have some common sense.
Right. Well, Donald Trump, you know, when I heard he was going to announce his decision on the last segment of his program, that was the end for me.
Yeah, that seems genuine.
He's not serious, and this is a stupid stupid thing. And if people aren't stupid, you know, the American people, when push comes to shove, people know what's right for them and what's not right for them.
Yep.
The Republicans, because we passed health care, accused us of overreaching and all kinds of things, and they scared people. And I think that was a result of the 2010 elections. We don't have to even stretch the truth, because the Republicans are really overreaching now. We just have to, you know what Harry Truman used to say, I don't give him hell, I just tell the truth, and they think it's hell.
Yep.
And I think that we need to do that. I think we will do that. And I'm feeling very, 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 very optimistic. I'm now in an energy and commerce markup, and it's really funny. The Republicans are trying to pass a cap on medical malpractice for pain and suffering, and suddenly they're talking about the federal preemption. You know, it's funny. What happened to the Republican Party of states' rights? You know, when it suits them, there should be a preemption. When it doesn't suit them, they rant and rave about states' rights. They're not consistent. They're not truthful. It's that way about the budget, and it's that way about every other thing they touch.
Congressman Elliot Engel, truth teller from the great state of New York. Thank you so much, sir. Talk to you soon.
Thanks so much, Stephanie. Take care.
There he goes. Yeah, how often do you hear that? You know, so I just was in an energy and commerce markup. And I'm like, yeah, I was just thinking of another fart joke about Bin Laden.
I was counting on the American people being stupid. Crap.
All right.
Yeah, markup. That's where the bills that nobody reads actually get read and diced up and specifically altered. So anytime you hear a Republican say, nobody has even read this, they've all been through committee, they've all been through markup. Both parties do it.
Yep. It's 47 minutes after the hour. We continue with the waning moments of Hump Day's Bell Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You just blew my mind.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yo, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm making a major announcement that I'll have a major announcement tomorrow.
What?
Look at me, I'm going all Trump.
About what?
And it's huge, it's going to be huge.
Huge.
About what?
Huge announcement about another announcement.
Yeah. See, I can play this publicity horror game.
Unofficially announcing that you're announcing something, or is
yes.
it officially?
Yes. Could you talk on the microphone? You're starting to fall asleep, sweetheart.
Sorry.
You're okay.
I didn't realize. I thought it was that far from it. I'm doing tech stuff so that. Because
you were up all night with that band of yours, that voodoo that you play.
Yes. Zero One and I were in studio last night working on three songs, one of which is named after Sasha Gray, who you can follow on.
Zero One really? House Band, they're awesome. Yeah. The official boy band of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm.
All right, 1-800.
Well, the official rock band. The official boy band is whoever's the dude living in your lawn. Whoever that guy is.
All right, official rock band. Pardon me.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, Sexy Liberal Show, starring Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang. Big announcement tomorrow. Big, big, big.
Great.
A big city. A big, big announcement tomorrow.
But we can't announce it.
Listen, my promo monkeys are flying as I speak.
Fly, promo monkeys.
Fly. All right. So we will have that big, big announcement tomorrow. So that's the big announcement about the upcoming big announcement.
Great.
All right. Okay, we love this. Okay, first of all, the Bin Laden, I love him flipping the channel changer. like a man. Like, and with this just in about Bin Laden, just fun fact after fun fact, he was, as it turns out, a big Bonanza fan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Love that show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's see what's on the boob tube. Saudi Arabia's funniest beheading videos? I've already seen this one. Inside the suicide bomber studio with Ahmed Lipton. Oh, I can't stand that guy. What a pompous twit. Ooh, my favorite, Bonanza. We chased Lady Luck till we finally struck Bonanza. With a gun and a rope and a hat full of hope, planted a family tree. On this land we put our brand, Bin Laden is the name. Fortune smiled the day we filed the Al-Qaeda claim. Here in Abbottabad we're living the best Bonanza. If anyone fights any one of us, he's got to fight with me. Oh, let me rephrase that. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
I don't care what they say about a horrible racist stereotype. I love that hop sing. Oh, he's hilarious when he rings the gong. He's time for dinner. Oh.
It was a great...
Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why he didn't hear the helicopters and the Navy SEALs. Yeah. Maybe he was had Bonanza up too high.
Great Michael Landon interview on the Tonight Show, and I think it was like mid-80s or something like that. And he goes, you know, I noticed a lot of guys, no girls on the ranch. And it's not, it might be an odd question. Were any of the Bonanza boys gay? And Michael Landon goes, no. Luckily, Hop Sing was.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Celebrity Stack, I'm doing this story. Why? Because it involves Prince. Thank you. It just makes me hot. The house parks. House parks. House, Prince and Persia just makes me hot.
That guy's from Minneapolis? That's just hard.
Yeah. All right. Whitney Houston, no longer welcome at Prince shows. You know, he's in the middle of a 21-night stand here at the Forum.
She can't come back anymore?
No.
How many times
D-listed
has she been?
Writing, Whitney has been a regular fixture at Prince's show. Even got on stage at the Forum in L.A. the other night to holler out a sound I can only describe as sounding like a constipated walrus with laryngitis trying to push a baby out his penis hole. His team has put Whitney Houston's name on the ban list due to her constant acts of drunken mayhem.
Oh, boy. Wow.
I commit those every night, but I have the decency to stay in my house and not go mess up Prince's show.
Whitney Houston? Really? What? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Wow. She must be really upset because her greatest fan is no more. He's muerto.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Bin Laden, a B-52's fan.
No wonder she's drunk.
And a Whitney Houston fan. He was often in, we thought a cave, but he was in his...
The queen of the night. The queen of the night. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you look so much better in the
burka. Now he's just a silly little man, isn't he? Yeah, watching Bonanza, dancing this mess around to the B-52s.
Right.
I do all 16 dances.
Stop dancing to Queen of the Night. You're going to kick over your dialysis machine again.
The Come ironic, on, he had to be bored. He never left the house.
The ironic part that he's being chewed on by a rock lobster.
Yeah, he's between a rock and a lobster now. Yeah. See?
There goes a barracuda. There goes a stingray. There goes a manta ray.
There goes my finger.
There goes my nose.
Wow. There goes my other eye. All right.
There goes my other eye.
Al Pacino to co-star with Lindsay Lohan in the Gotti flick. Holy moly. TMZ has learned Al Pacino. Hoo-ah. Yeah, Al Pacino has agreed to join the cast of the upcoming Gotti flick alongside Lindsay Lohan and John Travolta.
Lindsay Lohan's. Hoo-ah.
That's how he greets her every morning on the set.
Oh, I'm going to have a job.
Same way I greet Randy Rhodes. All right. Oprah Winfrey one step closer to making a longtime dream of appearing on Broadway come true after meeting with theater producers in New York to discuss her debut role. Beloved the Musical? What is she doing? I don't know. I mean, some sort of...
It's going to be awesome. I think she wants to be in Rock of Ages.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Aww. She's going to be in Avenue Q. She wants to run the puppets. She's going to actually...
The puppet master.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, dear. I won't get to the Justin Bieber story. I'm sorry. See? The Bieber fever people are going to go crazy now. We'll do that tomorrow, along with the big announcement. Today's was the big announcement about the big announcement tomorrow.
Well, it's going to eclipse your big announcement now that you've said Bieber information tomorrow.
Sure.
No
SexyLiberal.com is the website.
Yes.
SexyLiberal at Facebook. HowlSparks.com is the HowlSparks website.
Yep. And we'll be in Syracuse on Saturday night.
You have been humped. This has been Hump Days with Hal. We'll see you tomorrow with David Bender and Carl Frisch on The Stephanie Miller Show.